following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You know, I'll never be able to repay you for what you did for me earlier today. Well, let's not leave this in any ambiguous silence at this point. I just helped you out with the Sideshow Ben pre-order, so.
Well, you know, the whole reason that I started collecting the Sideshow 12-inch was because I knew at some point they were going to do the Alec Guinness Obi-Wan.
And we saw it at Celebration 4, and
I was like a little kid.
You were going to hurt somebody if you didn't get it, so I was. I'm just glad I could help avoid any problems, any stalking outside of Sideshow.
Well, we'll get into that in just a second, exactly what happened to me. Because I really think that the folks at Sideshow have it in for me. Because we haven't had a good couple of weeks.
Well,
the two of us.
It happens.
Welcome
to the. They seem to love me, so I'm in good shape.
You can do no wrong. I'm surprised, like, your own personal customer service rep didn't pop up on your screen today. Hello, Pete. You want two of those Obi-Wans?
Yes, okay. Steve. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to the Forcecast, the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com, and couldn't be prouder to be so. I am Jason. With me, always, my best buddy, Pete.
Really amped for today's show.
And this is the Forcecast for June 8th, 2007.
Wow.
Man, where did May go?
I have a pretty good idea. It's still in Los Angeles waiting to catch up for the rest of my bags.
Well, it's just been crazy. I mean, this is one of those shows where, I'll be honest, there were a few shows back where we were kind of struggling, like, what are we going to talk about? And then this is one of those shows, what can we leave out?
Yes, what are we going to skip over?
I mean, granted, a lot of our Celebration 4 coverage, you know, we already had during our special reports. Jimmy Mack, our buddy, did so much for those and still piping them down.
Yeah, still coming down.
Did you listen to the Kessel Run?
I did.
Was that like reliving that whole experience, yes, that ordeal?
All of a sudden, my legs started to hurt, and it felt like some sort of midget came out and kicked me in the kidneys at some point.
I don't know. Well, that's the other podcast, but the other microcast. But Jimmy was right. I think he mentions at some point, or I got it in an email, where it was a lot more fun listening back to it than it was actually experiencing it.
I disagree. I disliked both of them because it was just painful memories.
To relive the whole thing?
I was like, oh, gosh, this was the part where I was useless.
Yeah. during the math. Yeah.
Yeah, I said that after pretty much every segment. I was like, oh, I wasn't doing much to help out.
Ironically, you weren't the one that screwed up the math. I was the one that said, what did I say? Like, I had like 29 minus 12. I said it was 15. I don't know. Whatever.
We came in fifth, and that's...
I raised the ire of Jay Shepard at that point. Since when is that 15, Jason?
We were all a little bit bitey at that point.
Yeah, we'll get more into the Sideshow thing a little bit later. We can that'll be my
all this stuff. Look, we're already off track. We're 2 seconds
derailed
into the podcast. So
derailed. Well, one thing that I did want to mention is our sponsor, the folks that make this show possible. We want to thank them. Official Picks. They did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job with the Autograph Hall. Unbelievable. I heard no complaints.
None.
I mean, other than the fact that you had to wait in line for Carrie Fisher for a long time, which that's unavoidable.
You can't help.
It is unavoidable. the waits would be long.
There we go.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yes.
But, you know, other than that, I mean, it moved, baby. It moved.
It did.
People were cycling through those lines very quickly.
And having never been behind the scenes of something like that, I had no idea what actually goes into all of that. And it is a massive undertaking. And
it's huge.
Coordinating all of those people and the representatives and keeping the personalities happy and all that stuff. It's a monumental task, and I have to give props to Ann Newman for being the one that was kind of charged with that and came through.
She was kind of the celebrity wrangler in a sense.
Yes.
So yeah, big thanks to Anne, Philip, of course, Philip Wise, Ben
Stevens,
Graham, Dustin, Jay, Dave, Jimmy,
Dan,
Dan, of course,
all the people that were behind the scenes, and Melissa,
the volunteers
who were great, and I unfortunately didn't get to meet a lot of them. You know, we passed them and joked with them a couple times, but Melissa was the only one that
Jimmy
really...
and I actually got scolded by one.
As well, you should have.
Yeah,
been,
well, there
I'm
was
sure.
that. Yeah, there was that little roped off area that we kept cutting through, and the guy was like, "Guys, come on, sorry, this
You're
is the last time."
Above,
I promise.
You're not above the red velvet rope. No. I want you to know that.
No, I'm actually below it, which is kind of handy. I just skate right under there. But they did a great job. Now, the really interesting thing for us was being there on the last day.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's bittersweet. You're exhausted, for one. I mean, 5 days of just nonstop. I mean, I've been telling people, you know, we were up every day, 6:30, 7 o'clock a.m. on West Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
But then not in bed until 2:30 the next day.
If we were lucky.
Yeah, if we were lucky, just constantly working. And I think that it shows. I mean, we've had a lot of really good feedback from the listeners, and we truly did not want to leave any fan left behind, and that was the goal, that was the point, and I don't think we did. But anyway, so the last day, it's the RIP party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what's the RIP party? Well, the RIP party is when you literally tear up all of the official picks photos that don't get used up.
Because they're exclusive.
Because
they have to stay at the convention. That's part of the deal.
Exactly. And, of course, if you threw them in a dumpster, people would be dumpster diving for them. Jay Shepard. And, oh, you know what? We got an email do you remember the email we got that said that we talk about Jay Shepard too much?
Yes.
And, for God's sake, he didn't invent Star Wars. George Lucas did. So, every time we mention Jay Shepard, we're going to say George Lucas. So, dumpster diving, Jay Shepard, George Lucas. We're tearing these things up in, of course, Jimmy Mac form. He's running audio on the RIP party, and he actually got the chance to talk to Dustin and a very special guest, young Daniel Logan. So here's some clip from the RIP party.
All right, what's happening here? We're in the official picks booth. Star Wars Celebration 4 has officially ended, and this is one of the most saddest things I've ever seen. Dustin, what's going on right now?
Ripping up all these 8x10s. This is horrible. Ala Secura getting ripped in half and thrown into the dumpster. We've got to destroy all this product because of it's a convention exclusive. So,
oh, Dave's ripping R2-D2.
Oh no, it's you're breaking Dustin's heart. You're ripping up pictures of R2-D2.
I'm tearing his heart out and I'm stomping it on the floor.
Oh, Dustin, who is that you just ripped up?
Ala Secura.
Oh no.
Sorry, Amy.
The beautiful Amy Allen in shreds. Now, why does this have to happen?
This product is exclusive to Celebration 4. It's got the Celebration 4 logo on it. We cannot sell it anywhere else. So these are all unsigned photos, and we got to destroy them.
Daniel, what are you doing here?
Helping out my buddies. Helping out Ben Stevens.
Well, explain to our listeners what exactly you're doing.
I'm ripping up photos of me and all the rest of the actors.
Who's your favorite actor to rip up?
Myself. Like my father, I get decapitated.
So that was kind
he
of
was a great sport. It was great to look over and see, you know, we're tearing away and look over there. Hey, Daniel Logan's tearing up pictures too, and he was working hard. He probably got blisters too.
Yeah. Oh man, those were the worst. Yeah, I still have a faint scar.
Yes, I've got the
rip party.
I got my trooper tracks. I've got my my scar from the rip party. I am C4. Scarred for life. So
I see,
and I can't have it any other way.
No, it's worth it. It's worth it. So again, thank you to Official Picks. Thanks for everything you do for the podcast, and thanks for everything you did for us at C4. Just the treatment was unbelievable. So again, thanks Philip, Ben, and Ann, and all you folks. We miss you, and we're hoping to see you again real soon. All right, so I guess you could kind of chalk this up in kind of the weird and wacky of C4. The Elvis Trooper was everywhere.
Everywhere.
And he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Ken the Elvis Trooper. Of course, teamed up with Gentle Giant, they did a mini bust of Ken as the Elvis Trooper and raffled it off. And actually, one of the Rebel Scum Forum members, Ed N, and his fiancee won the Ken the Elvis Trooper, and it's actually a really cool piece. And when I first heard about it, it was like, oh great. But then when you saw it, you're like, that's got to be one of the coolest, most unique Star Wars items I've ever seen. And his costume is phenomenal.
Yes.
However, Ken is a little more trooper than he is Elvis when it comes to the singing department. And we actually have a clip of Ken at Star Wars Celebrity. Now, this was the talent show, the American Idol-esque portion that our own Jovial J. Shepherd, George Lucas, participated in. So here's Ken, the Elvis Trooper, at Star Wars Celebrity.
Well, that's all right, Jabba. That's all right for you. That's all right, Jabba. Just any way you do. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Jabba. Any way you do.
And really,
he has the persona.
Best. Well, he did. Oh yeah. I mean, he's got the moves down. He's got the lingo down. You know the. That was actually the best part of the singing that the Jimmy was able to grab. But I mean, he's a great sport. So anyway, congratulations to Ed N and Ken the Elvis Trooper. It was for a good cause, and hats off to Gentle Giant for making that happen. That's pretty cool. Something else that's pretty cool, number one Star Wars fan site. What do you think?
I think it's definitely going to be TheForce.net.
Yeah, well,
use TheForce.net.
According to G4's Attack of the Show, it is TheForce.net.
First up, on a very special Star Wars edition of Attack, this is the penultimate fan site, TheForce.net. Long the gold standard of Star Wars fan sites, The Force is the best place to get all the gossip and news that you'd ever want about everybody's favorite franchise. The site also features fan-created humor, fiction, and art, all filled with super nerdy Star Wars goodness. This is the place where you can rock your Jedi braid and feel proud about it. Here you're going to find the answers you seek.
Also features a certain podcast that they didn't mention.
I kind of noticed that but myself. You know, not...
I always take all that stuff personally. But, you know, I was actually on the G4 coverage of Celebration 4.
I looked for... Are you sure?
I am sure, although I've had trouble finding myself. But all you see is the side of my head go whizzing past at
what
some point.
I still have it on the DVR.
I have no idea at this point. I was searching through it the other day going, I know I'm in here, come on!
All right, if you find Pete, would you please put like the time code, you know, of the
if
show?
If you find me by looking at the side of my head on this picture, because I was like, oh, wait, that's me. If you can find me based on that, then... We're going to have some talks about...
Actually, you know what? Let's do this.
You're checking me out.
If you've got the G4 Celebration 4 with Star Wars at 30, if you've got that special, and you can send us the precise, you know, hour and minute and second that you see Pete, and we can verify it, I don't know what we'll send you, but we'll
find something good. But mostly out of my own curiosity, so that I can look and go, all right, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, okay.
So, and again, it's just a brief... It has nothing to do with the show.
Are you sure it's you before we send our listeners out on this wild
chase? I'm sure it's me because I remember
it's like, Where's Waldo? It's like a deranged Where's Waldo?
It's a very bad Where's Waldo? But my head just kind of shoots through because I was on a mission at the point.
Yeah.
I was doing something else. I can't be bothered with G4. I've got things to do.
Right.
So.
What were you doing?
I was on my way to the official picks booth to get something.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so, if you can find Pete, post it in the forums over at rebelscum.com under the weekly Forcecast thread, and just, you know, make it Pete on G4 or something like that. First one to post it, we'll send you something.
Yes.
Yeah. So that ought to be exciting because I want to see it myself. Yes. I was specifically looking for you. And didn't see it.
You know, I saw myself, but then I was specifically looking for myself and couldn't find it. So.
Delusions of grandeur?
Yes, probably.
Perhaps. I tell you one person that did have some, well, not delusions of grandeur, just the grandeur.
Just grandeur.
Oh my gosh, did you hear about this? The fella in 76-year-old man, first of all. There's all kinds of, I don't know, you could make some, if he was a 77-year-old man, it would be even more exciting. But 76-year-old man has won $3.2 million on a Star Wars penny slot machine in San Diego County.
I'd be curious to know if he was actually a fan and playing it because it was Star Wars or because it was only a penny.
He's a 76-year-old right. man. I'll give you five guesses. The first four don't count.
Yeah,
so,
I think he's a fan now if he wasn't before.
I would imagine so. That's unbelievable. $3.2 million. How many pennies is that? Yeah.
I mean,
because that's what I'm picturing.
Does it really come out as pennies? It's like pouring out of the machine. It's like it's pouring out of R2's body.
I'm thinking
like,
the thing's been there since 77, and it's just, you know, that's how many pennies it has.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, you can check that out at theforce.net. Great story. And then on a side note, a fella, Mario E., he wrote in to let us know that there was another Star Wars jackpot winner. An Argentinian won over 1,200,000 pesos, which is almost 400,000 U.S., with a Star Wars machine last May. And that was the largest jackpot ever delivered in Latin America. So if you're out anywhere, if you see a Star Wars gumball machine, you might get two, you know, of whatever it is.
Star Wars pays out.
Star Wars is paying out, so maybe it's just something for the 30th anniversary. So there's no limits to George's power. That's my theory. Make them all winners. He's got a button at his desk. We also want to send a shout-out here to our good friend and Fanboys director, Kyle Newman. He is engaged. Now, he's off the market, ladies. He's engaged to a beautiful actress, Jamie King, and so we want to wish them all the best. So, congratulations.
Well, and he's going to get it. Absolutely.
What? What?
All the best. Absolutely.
The Pete's catchphrase.
Yeah, that is. I have now christened it.
Absolutely. Yeah, put another thread to see how many times Pete said absolutely. But you know what? I was listening to the Megacast, and we all say it a lot.
Absolutely. it works. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. It's kind of like that swear word of all swear words. You can use it in so many different forms that there's just always a spot that you can use absolutely.
Absolutely. So may I introduce to you, if your number only is Jesus, Sergeant Pepper. Pitiful little band. All right, for lack of a better update, that is our official Celebration Europe update theme.
I love it.
I think it works.
Yes.
Jimmy Mack's a genius.
He is.
And you know after he hears this, he's going to tweak it a little bit more and put
Celebration Europe bells and whistles on it.
He'll put all that stuff. So, Pete, you were actually there for sort of kind of an unofficial official kickoff to Celebration Europe. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was lucky enough, or I have to thank Randy Martinez for including me as part of his unveiling of his Celebration Europe program cover. He also did the C4 cover, but is doing the one for Celebration Europe, and it's a montage paying homage to Sgt. Pepper's album cover, the Beatles' Sgt. Right. Pepper's album cover. And it's great. And if you look at the two, it's painstakingly matched up to so that it goes almost, you know, you can almost lay one over top of the other and see all the same images. So, but he gives a great interview. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. Just regarding where everything came from, and thanks to Jay for helping out with videoing that. And there's a link to his page, which has a making of, which has some great photos of him and his mom putting together the stand that it was going on. And it's going to be great.
Well, it was kind of a three-dimensional
yes
mock-up that he had there, or the original is kind of a 3D. I don't know how you describe it, a model or something.
I guess model, and that's what they'll base
it on. And that
was
the photograph that they used then.
And one of the cool things is for the program, it's actually going to be, the program itself is going to be 12 by 12, like an album cover, which is, I think, is genius. I think it's awesome. And there's a couple other things that are going to be in there, but, you know, check that out. And
leave it to the Europeans.
Randy's extraordinarily talented and was great throughout the whole show. He was so cool to me and really made a lot of concessions to make sure that we got the scoop on this one. So I really appreciate him.
Yeah, he did. He really went over the
doing that. Yeah. And there's some pictures floating around out there. But
Artist
Alley was one of my favorite stops because there were just so many great people.
And I want to publicly commend you, Pete, because that was a project that you took on. You faced a lot of technical challenges, and you worked really well with them. And when we got out to C4, they were happy to see us. We were happy to see them. And
well, and it's always gratifying when you talk to people like that, and you spend a lot of time doing those interviews. And I interviewed some of them multiple times because of the technical difficulties, unfortunately. But when you get out there and you realize that they're the same people that you interviewed, and that they're just great people and a lot of fun just to talk to in general, you know, when whether it's about Star Wars or not. I mean, they were just all great people.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And I had fun talking to each and every one of them in person after I had spent some time talking to them. So,
well, and kind of along the lines here at Celebration Europe, we've got a couple other celebrity confirmations. We may have talked about this on a prior show, but Billy Dee Williams, our bud.
You can't miss it. If everything the guy says is pure gold, you can't miss it if you're there. I did, and I'm kicking myself now for having done so. So,
well, ironically, actually, you were with Randy.
I was at the time. I was.
That's how you missed the Billy Dee press conference. Together. It's amazing. But we got all the Billy Dee stuff. But if you're going out to Celebration Europe, which we are not, I had a no-fly rule, but I've amended it.
It's been lifted.
Well, it's been changed. Right. It's been modified. No flying over oceans. I will fly over, you know, solid land, which just really doesn't make any sense. You're dead either way. I mean, let's face it. But in my own mind, I feel like, I don't know, I could parachute.
Hey, whatever it takes to justify it so that we can get you out to
see. I've seen enough Bond movies where, you know, I think I could like take a parachute off of another person in midair. I'm trained on that. I've watched it enough. It's insane here, folks. All right. So anyway, not going to Celebration Europe. That's the moral of that tale.
Yeah.
But Rick McCallum is, or McCallum, depending on how
whether he's in Europe or not.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, Rick, of course, is never short on stories to tell. And there's a new interview floating around, and this was on our show notes. And I really wish I hadn't deleted it now, because
it's on Tashi Station.
Is it?
I thought it was. No. It was on Lightsaber.
Lightsaber.
Yes. .co.
.uk.
.com.
Dot. That's the worst plug.
Yes.
We're actually sabotaging them.
Yes, we've actually.
It's terrible.
But I'm sure if Lightsaber spelled S-A.
Actually, you can find a link to it on
force.net. So head on over there. Yeah. But they've got an interview with him. It's great. And he's always entertaining. So I'm somewhat jealous that he is there and did not go to Celebration 4.
Yeah, apparently he's working on the pre-production of the live-action TV series. Of course, that's what they said about George, but actually he was just taking in the race in Monaco.
Yeah, I'm a little busy.
You know, that's closer.
You're like,
to...
Those are just some writers on their way over here.
Satellite feed.
But anyway, so George was catching a race. Didn't have time for us at C4.
That's right. He
did record a 19-second greeting for us.
Yes, and appeared via satellite as a puppet, which was fantastic.
Right, right. Fantastic puppeteering there, Bonnie.
Yes.
By the way. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Bonnie. But she did well,
I would have sworn it was George.
Yes.
Boy, we are getting off track. Anyway, also, kind of along the lines of Star Wars Celebrity, Celebration Europe is going to have their own thing. It's the... It's like a competition for bands. So if you have a band that plays Star Wars themed music, like maybe you've been featured on A Galaxy of Music, of all things for us to miss, that would be great. What a great Galaxy of Music that would be.
Yes.
Anyway, it's kind of a Battle of the Bands type thing, where you can be crowned the Celebration Europe Cantina Band by performing the ultimate piece of Star Wars inspired music. So if you have what it takes to write something worthy of performance in Jabba's Palace or the Mos Eisley Cantina, you get to play live on stage in front of adoring Star Wars fans at Celebration Europe in London on July 14th. So to enter, you can check it out at celebrationeurope.com/cantina for all the details, or just go over to starwars.com. Pretty cool.
Yes. And again, Star Wars Celebrity, we wouldn't have gone if Jay hadn't been in it, but it was a great time.
Yes.
It was so much fun.
Do
go to this. Even if you're not participating, even if you're not there, I guarantee it'll be a good time.
It was. We talked about it on the when we were out there on one of the reports. It was just it was a great event.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was relaxing. It was in a nice big room, and you could kind of stretch out a little bit. And
everybody was glad to be there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was really really fun. So anyway, Celebration Europe.
Somebody I introduced to you.
This is Billy Dee Williams, and you're listening to the Force Cast.
Well, yeah, there we go. I found the buttons.
Here we are.
Podcast excellence, my friends. Indiana Jones 4 looks like production is underway here in the U.S., which is pretty cool. And we actually have a forum member who is all over the ForceCast forums, and a friend of yours, Pete.
Yes.
Mr. Fagan.
John, who's didn't tell me this was happening. What's up, man?
Well, John is a resident of Connecticut. I know nothing about Connecticut, so I couldn't tell you if John lives anywhere near where the filming is happening. The filming is actually happening, let's see, where is that? In New Haven on Chapel Street between June 11th and, let's see, no, that's the casting call. The filming will take place between June 28th and July 7th. The casting call is June 11th and 12th at the Omni Hotel at Yale between 1 and 9. Take your headshot. What else do they want? I don't know. Do you have to sing or dance or anything? Anyway, just to be an extra? They need a headshot just for me to stand in the background?
Yeah.
Like you don't believe me as like a normal person or something? Like
maybe they're just seeing if, you know, the hat will fit you. Here, wear this hat.
I doubt it. But
to be in the background.
Apparently it's like some like a cool chase sequence with Harrison Ford. So, but anyway, one of our forum members, John Fagan, has said in the forums he's going to try to somehow get in there. We were alerted to this, a friend of ours, a reader of TFN, Mario E., wanted to let us know that Indy 4 is also going to be filming in some Mexican locations in the state of Veracruz. How's that? Veracruz?
What did you?
All right, Veracruz.
Your teeth hurt, or is that supposed to be an accent?
No, my friend. That is like four cuatros of español en colegio.
Totally wasted on you, my friend. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
Only more so
it's
by
a beautiful
me.
Language when it's not spoken by me. Anyway, yes. This is the area actually where Mel Gibson filmed Apocalypto.
Mm-hmm.
For the 12 or 13 people who saw that movie. But at any rate, and I actually want to see that. So I think it's on DVD now. But anyway, if you want to be in an Indiana Jones 4 movie, this is probably going to be your last shot. So if you're a resident of Connecticut or any of the neighboring states or locations around, get out there.
Get over
Run.
There quick.
Don't walk.
Take a headshot.
Yeah, take the headshot. Show them that you're at least pretty enough to be in the background, for God's sake. Anyway. So that's cool. So if John gets in, hopefully we'll have some special reports of what it's like to be an extra in an Indiana Jones movie. Pretty cool. We were actually alerted to some of this news here by another TFN reader here, Mitchell Hollick. And he's also made it a personal quest to be in Indy 4. And he actually received a call on Friday from Entertainment Weekly to potentially be their obsessed fan of the week. So he's hoping maybe that kind of pushes him over the edge.
That gives him the...
Well, you know, Steven Spielberg.
You got to do whatever you can
he's
do.
He's on the John. He's flipping through his E-Weekly. He knows he's got the big shoot coming up. He sees this guy, obsessed indie fan of the week. Wow. He's a natural. So maybe he'd even give him a line.
I'm sorry. I just can't get past your providing me the imagery of Steven Spielberg on the John. Thank you very much for that.
We all do it, my friend. We all do it.
Yes.
All right. Now, there is some sad news as it relates to Indiana Jones 4.
Yes.
And to and to quote Pete on his instant message to me this afternoon when the news broke.
No.
So I will do the honors of being the interviewer, Mr. Connery.
Yes.
So I wish you could actually see Pete's face when he does this. It's funnier than the voice. All right.
It usually is.
Are you going to be in Indy 4?
I get asked that question so often. Thought it would be best to make an announcement. I thought long and hard about it, and if anything could have pulled me out of retirement, it would have been an Indiana Jones film. I love working with Steven and George, and it goes without saying it is an honor.
Now all of a sudden you're British.
I've derailed. Anyway, what I go on to say is...
You can't maintain that for more than two sentences?
Listen, there's a reason that I'm not in acting or anything else. But in the end, retirement is too damn much fun. Or too damn much fun. Whatever. Anyway, he's staying retired. Listen, if you're going to set me up like that to do an entire interview...
I gave you hours notice.
Yes. Well, I worked on it, and it was great for the first 5 seconds. Anyway. All right.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
So, unfortunately, Sean Connery is officially out as Henry Jones.
Well,
Which is terrible.
To carry on with the quote, if you don't mind...
If you can do the voice, be my
no,
guest.
No voices. He says, but in the end, retirement is just too damned much fun. I do, however, have one bit of advice for Junior. Demand that the critters be digital, the cliffs be low, and for goodness sake, keep the whip by your side at all times in case you need to escape from the stunt coordinator. This is a remarkable cast, and I can only say, break a leg, everyone. I'll see you on May 22nd, 2008 at the theater. So there you go. No Henry Jones for Indy 4.
It's a travesty.
It really is. But it's official, according to the official Indiana Jones website. If you want to read it for yourself, in Pete's voice, be my guest, and head on over to StarWars.com or the official Indiana Jones website. Headlines is next.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
I'm sorry about that. I'll give you like 3 days' notice on it next time.
I don't think it's going to matter. You can give me 2 weeks, and all of a sudden I'm Kevin Costner and Robin Hood. I'm in and out with my accent. Take that.
That's exactly what you were. You're Kevin Costner.
Well, that went through my head. I was like, boy, this is going downhill really fast.
Or Carrie Fisher in episode 4. I recognize your foul stench when I was brought on board. That's the only time she uses the British accent in the whole movie.
It's fabulous. Hey, it's harder than you think, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. Where do we start? Oh, StarWars.com. The new StarWars.com.
Yes.
Story. Well, we knew about it. It officially launched, the new look, launched over the Celebration 4 weekend, and... It's very different.
It is very different.
Now they don't have all the back end pages updated, but it's got a it's web 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a simplified look to it, and it seems to be gearing itself all towards kind of the social aspect of the website, including make your own Star Wars. They have some mashups where you can actually upload your own film footage and splice it together with footage from the films. And then people can go to StarWars.com and view these. I haven't viewed... Are there any up yet?
I think there are a few up already,
I haven't looked at them yet. But this is very cool. We've talked about this.
This is kind of what you were asking for.
Yeah, it really is. I just felt where you had YouTube and other sites outperforming StarWars.com. No offense. Great people over there. This is not meant to be critical or anything. But the web changed dramatically since the launch of StarWars.com 10 years ago. And I think what happened is they have a mammoth site with a ton of back info and archives. And so I'm sure the prospect of launching a new site with a new look and everything is just, I can't imagine what a daunting task it is. But they're starting out... starting out with a bang, in my opinion. They've got a blog, like a WordPress blog, which is very cool. And they've got they're using Splashcast to get some great video coverage, and it's really a step in the right direction. So.
And they were on it for C4. I mean, they did some good updates. So
I got to tell you, we were. I mean, we were really competing with them in a sense. I mean, friendly competition, of course, but I mean, we, you know, we got our stuff up, I think slightly ahead of them, actually, the Lucasfilm archives and the Vader project, on our YouTube channel, but, or right at the same time, it was very close,
but they had the opening ceremony stuff up very quickly. So
they did. And I gotta say, I should probably save it for our C4 wrap up here later, but I just want to say, while it's on my mind, they were very open at C4. I mean, so many times we'd walk into a panel and there'd be a soundboard ready for us to plug directly in, and Jimmy was, whether he was asked to or not, Jimmy was. But I shouldn't even say that, because he did always ask, hey, is this the board I can plug into? And yeah, that was it. So very open. And then, of course, for StarWars.com to put the opening ceremonies up and the Clone Wars trailer up, just awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome work.
Yes, they've got it.
And I want to say this. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is, and it doesn't matter whether I plug them, because they get hundreds of thousands of downloads. So, you know, here's a few more. This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte. And it's a roundtable discussion show where they just talk about various tech issues, computers and gadgets and stuff like that. And one of his issues on the last show was Star Wars turning 30. And they go around, and he starts out kind of nice, and, you know, a bunch of tech guys, you know, where were you when you first saw Star Wars? And somebody said, I was 12, or I was 15, or I was in college, or whatever. And then he starts talking about the new StarWars.com, and particularly these mashups. And he starts going after Lucas, like, yeah, here's a guy he's been one of the worst when it comes to, you know, intellectual property, and he never let anybody do anything with Star Wars. And then this other guy chimes in, he's like, yeah, he said, now that Star Wars is dead and nobody cares anymore, he needs to sell some more toys, so he's going to let people make their own movies. I was really upset by it, because here's a show where these guys are, you know, educated folks, and they do a lot of research on all their tech stories. They come to a Star Wars story. They're recording the show on the very weekend that 35,000 of us are gathered in Los Angeles. Star Wars is far from dead, my friend, Leo. And if you want to email Leo, which I highly recommend, leo@twit.tv. And say, you know, do a little research first. But he was just railing on George about, and I mean, you look at the fan films, look at the history ever since Troops.
Yeah, it's
been,
and we saw this weekend that they've been doing, or at Celebration 4, that they've been more than accommodating with a lot of different things.
No doubt about it.
Robot Chicken, Family Guy, Fanboys.
Oh, it's all because Star Wars is dead.
The Force Among Us, all those things, you know, it's you know, they've been great with that.
We'll ask Daryl DePriest at Hasbro just how desperate George is to sell some toys. You know, I don't think there's any desperation involved. I was just real, because it's a show that I've been listening to for over a year now, and, you know, as I think people tend to feel with us, you start to feel kind of a kinship with the hosts of these shows. And
certainly.
So, I don't know, it was like a big stab in the back. And it just was, I thought, just really unprofessional, actually, because if you do any research at all, it's going to show that George and the folks at Lucasfilm, I think, have been quite accommodating as much as they could to fan activity. And
this is just another example of it with the new StarWars.com.
Right. So check it out, StarWars.com, blogs, no podcast yet, but videos and all kinds of things. But that's okay. We got the podcast covered. Don't worry about it there,
Bonnie. We'll take care of that.
Also, and this is kind of one of those things that Pete was like, do you really want to talk about this? But I sort of do, because it kind of gives you an idea of what goes on behind the scenes at Force.net and Rebel Scum. We're sitting in the hotel. I want to say this was Thursday night.
It was Thursday
night. Yeah, Thursday night. So the day before the official opening day. And we're in the suite with Rebel Scum and TFN headquarters. And there's a lot of excitement about this website, talesofthenewrepublic.com. And so Pete and I rush over and look at the computer as Dan Curto is busily typing away. And, you know, they're thinking, well, do we run with this? And what it was, if you don't know, is it was a series of still shots from what looked to be a original trilogy era or New Republic era cartoon in the style of the Gentle Giant animated statues. And it looked really good.
It did. It looked great.
So the question is, is this official? And I think at the bottom it said, 5:25:07.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we were going to find out what this was. So I mean, we were buzzing. Mm-hmm. We gonna, you know, what is this thing? Is it real? Is it not real?
What do we do with it? What,
exactly. So we posted it. We didn't post it as it being real, but we posted it saying, here's what it is. As a rumor. And I remember I kept asking Dustin, like, come on, you know
something.
You got to know. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. And so we were bugging everybody that we could find that had any kind of official Lucasfilm title or whatever. Is this real? And we thought they were either being really good actors or that it wasn't real. And I desperately wanted it to be real.
Yeah, you want to believe. I know you do.
I do want to believe. And turns out that it was not real, that it was, I shouldn't say real.
Official.
It was not official. And the following day, there was a trailer, animated trailer for Tales of the New Republic. Up on YouTube. And I got to say, they did a great job. As it stands right now, it's only a trailer. And they actually don't have any episodes. But what Pete was alluding to earlier wasn't the McCallum interview. It's an interview with the creator, the maker of Tales of the New Republic, over at ToshiStation.nl. So you can read it. And then there's another interview you can find. We've got the links at theforce.net. But just kind of why he did this. And basically, he says, we did this because we wanted to. We thought it'd be cool. I like the look of the Gentle Giant stuff. And that's pretty much what we used as models for it. And it looks great.
It does.
I mean, for a fan-made work, it's just phenomenal. And I don't see, them slapping the cuffs on him there, Leo. So I'd say that maybe this is just to sell a few more Gentle Giant toys. Again, yes. That's Leo at twit.tv. Email him. Say, do some fact-checking. Anyway,
I hope he doesn't start spamming our email address.
Oh, that'd be great. If we get a mention
actually,
on that show,
would've.
If we get a mention on that show, we're good to go, baby. yeah, please tell him that the Forcecast sent you.
Yes.
So anyway, it's not official, but definitely worth checking out, and the interview is interesting to kind of give you an idea of why you would go to such pains to do something like this. And he really created a wonderful tribute to Star Wars.
Yes, and the buzz was great too.
Oh, it was so much fun.
It was fun.
That was really cool. Just trying to speculate whether it was real, whether it wasn't, and I mean to see Thrawn, an animated Thrawn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to check it out. It's very cool.
We can only hope.
Yes. Yes. Oh, also expandeduniverse.com. That's the other site that has an interview with the fella. So anyway,
moving right along.
Now this is a really cool story, and it's about one of our favorite Star Wars celebrities who we did get a chance to finally meet face to face at Celebration 4, Jeremy Bullock. Now check this out. This was at AdventureCon in Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay. There was a costume-themed wedding of a couple of 501st members, Jonathan Wallach and Roseanne Coe. So an armor-clad bounty hunter objected to the marriage from the back of the audience. He makes his way down the aisle to the stage, to the couple. He pushes the groom out of the way, takes off the helmet, cameras flickering. Under the helmet, Jeremy Bullock. How cool is that?
So cool.
To see Jeremy in the armor again.
It's great.
How cool to be the 501st member that, you know, Jeremy wore your armor.
Yeah.
He sweated in it. There's real boba sweat.
You know, I forwarded this story on to my girlfriend, and I said, if I got you a really nice ring, could we do something like this? And the reply was, there's not a ring big enough for this to ever happen. So I'll just live vicariously through these people, which is great.
I happen to know your girlfriend. And she's a sucker for any celebrity.
That's
I mean
true.
Any celebrity.
That's true.
So she says that now. Now she'd be upset if I took my helmet off and it was, you know, me under there.
Aren't you a little short for a bounty hunter?
No, I could play, episode 2 era Boba Fett, I think. Yeah. But anyways, that is
very
how
cool
is that? And for Jeremy to do that, just that's awesome.
Just shows what type of guy he is, and if you know the few minutes that we got to speak with him and hang and just be around him, you just know that's the kind of person he is.
Yeah, very, very cool. Hey, another cool guy is Terry from HistoryChannel.com and the production company that put together the Legacy Revealed. What was that? Electric Artists.
Electric Artists.
he wanted to let us know that, well, for those of you who are left behind, that got a chance to see the premiere of The Legacy Revealed, I caught it on in a rerun. Unbelievable. 1.8 million 25 to 54 impressions. 1.1 million 25 to 54 male impressions. Let's see, what does that mean? I don't know. I'll tell you what it does mean.
Lots of good stuff.
It's ranked the number one show ever for the History Channel for adults 18 to 49. So, and number two show, adults 25 to 54. Just behind Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers, which is pretty good company.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it was great. It completely lived up to the billing that everybody that we talked to regarding it had led us to believe, and it was great. But I have to say that I have had several people who aren't Star Wars fans but know that I am mm-hmm. that have come up to me and said, I watched the show on the History Channel. Did you see it? And, do you know who I am? But,
I love when people come up and try to give me Star Wars news.
Give me scoops. Like, I read about that 3 months ago. But anyway.
How pretentious were we? I can't believe I said that out loud. I love when people try to give me Star Wars news. I'm reminding myself of someone that will remain nameless.
All we have to do is go back and listen to the Kessel Run and how humiliated we were at the fact that we were not.
We need to be humbled.
Yes, that we were not by any means close.
What I meant by that is it's cute. You know?
Yeah, like, it is cute.
My stepdad, he'll call me up. He was really excited when he heard about this Legacy Revealed because he called me up. Oh, I read it in the TV Guide. It's going to be on.
And everybody has said to me how much they enjoyed it, and we've talked about several of the different aspects of it, and how intense it gets in some moments.
Fantastic interview you did with the producers behind that, you and Jay, on the MegaCast. If you haven't had a chance, if you haven't waded through the massive MegaCast that we did,
keep working at it.
Just because C4 is over doesn't mean that info on there is any less relevant. It's great. It's a great show, and Pete and Jay's interview they did with the folks from Legacy Revealed, it's fantastic. Now, having said all that, we did promise before we left for C4 that we would do a contest because we had some really great prizes from Terry and Electric Artists and History Channel to give away,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, the only thing I can say is that Pete and I really underestimated the amount of work.
Massively, I believe.
That C4 was going to be. And we had, and I mean this, we literally had no downtime. Mm. Any downtime we had was eating those wretched tacos.
Don't remind me.
I got a question. How many tacos did Jay Shepard eat?
I don't know.
Every time I saw him eating, it was one of those tacos.
And they knew him by name, I believe.
Yeah,
I think
they did, and you had to buy three of them at a time. I had my share. The only downtime we had was that. And, of course, meeting up with some of our listeners, which was just the coolest thing ever. My absolute favorite part of C4 was...
No doubt.
Passing out the buttons and the patches and the stickers and things of this nature to all of our listeners. But anyway, getting back to the point, this weekend, one weekend only, I absolutely promise we will have some contesting going on in our forums for some really cool prizes from the folks at Electric Artists and History Channel for the Legacy Revealed. And if you haven't caught it, I don't know. I know they were rerunning it earlier this week. I would imagine it's still going to be on. You got to catch it and rerun, tape it, DVR it. It's phenomenal. It reminds me quite a bit of the Magic of Myth book was published for that particular museum exhibit. And it really deconstructs the stories remarkably well. And if you're thinking, I've heard it all, I've seen the movie zillion times, I know all there is to know about it. I know all of the derivatives, derives from Greek mythology and the Bible and the Quran and everything else. I'm telling you, you'll learn something new from this documentary. Mm-hmm. And if anything, just to get some fresh perspectives from people like Kevin Smith and former Speaker Newt Gingrich, current Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and Peter Jackson, it's it's very cool. And I have to say that in retrospect, after listening to the MegaCast, where they said that, you know, George was pretty adamant that he not be in the documentary, you know, I'm kind of glad, because
it was the right thing.
George has a tendency to kind of downplay some of this stuff, and I think he might have been a little embarrassed by the reverence that people spoke of the films. I don't mean embarrassed in a bad way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just
yeah,
very humbled.
Yeah, so I think it was probably good that he wasn't in the documentary. He might not have mm-hmm. really added that much. It was great to get some really fresh perspectives
sure.
from folks that you wouldn't normally, Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather, folks that you wouldn't normally hear. It was funny even hearing them mention Star Wars.
Yes.
You know, so that was very cool. So check that out, and congratulations to the History Channel, because it's a great documentary. Oh, and the science of Star Wars, or
Star Wars tech.
Yes. That was equally cool. Although there were certain points where they kept like going over and over, like, now this could not happen in real life. It's like, I know it's just a movie.
Well, but that's for all those people out there, like our friends back out in California that tried to invent their own lightsaber. I mean, you have to...
And blew themselves up.
Yes, and set themselves on fire. You have to give the disclaimers for those people, because, you know, for every person who's well-grounded and knows that, you know, you can't, at this point, make a real lightsaber, there's somebody going, you know, I could do that.
Well, now, let's be honest. I think I, like many, we had one question on our minds when we were watching that show, and that is... In the future, could we actually have a lightsaber? And I think we can. Plasma, baby.
Well,
they're talking about plasma.
To be honest, I have to say that
plasma might work.
Even if it were invented, I would stay as far away as possible, because I know one swing and all of a sudden I'm less one limb. So
I'm looking at my, you know, like my friend's plasma TV. I'm like, can I build me a lightsaber out of that?
But he comes home and it's all deconstructed. Like, look what I made.
That he kills me.
Yes.
With
it. It's great.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
And we do have a little bit of collecting news here. I mean, really
brief.
Brief, yeah. But so if you're interested at all in fine collecting, make sure you check it out at rebelscum.com. Dan Curto and Dave Myatt and the whole crew over there do a fantastic job keeping you updated with more info than you'd ever want to know on everything there is to do with Star Wars collecting. But we thought we'd bring up a few topics here. One, if you were at C4 and you were lucky enough to snag an entire set, which I don't know if anybody did, of the collecting panel medallions, or if you have a few of them, or even one of them, who cares? If you go to rebelscum.com, in their store, they actually have some holders for these, and they're these amazing acrylic holders with the cutouts for each one. And I think they're handmade, there's not a whole lot of them. So get over there to rebelscum.com and check them out. They're a little on the pricey side, but well worth it.
Well,
when you see them in the presentation, it makes it worth it.
That blew me away, and if you've got something like this, you want to have something that you can present them, so it'll be well worth it to protect your collection and make it just an unbelievable display piece.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Jeez.
You have been indoctrinated, my friend.
I have. All right, so check that out.
And if you keep trying to steal my lines, then, you know, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, just don't use my line at the end of the show.
Sorry.
It's Ben's line. Remember, there's only room for one Ben in the Star Wars universe.
And it's not Quadraneros. I know it isn't.
All right, so also, the 30th anniversary collection goes gold. We talked about this earlier, but it's official. They're starting to show up in stores. The Ultimate Galactic Hunt is back. And this year, instead of a silver premiums inside, they're gold. Gold coins and a gold Star Wars logo. So they should be pretty easy to find on the pegs. Well, they should be pretty easy to see on the pegs. Not easy to find, but right. The rumor is there's going to be 10 in all. And there's some great photos of the first one, the Han Solo from Wave 2, over at rebelscum.com. So check that out. And I'm digging these coins, man. I'm digging them.
It's going to burn a hurting on you.
It is. But... At first I thought I was going to collect two of every one of these so I could collect the coins, you know, or at least collect them loose, because I don't open my stuff, but I just can't. There's too much stuff. There's too much good stuff. And I'm just really getting into this Yoda animated thing, which kind of happened at C4. That's kind of like going to be my side specialty.
Yes.
I'm so glad my wife doesn't listen.
I thought you were only going to collect the figures.
You can just hear. So Unleashed is back. What do you think, Pete?
Oh.
Well, it's kind of back.
It is. And it's, of course, a figure that I've already pre-ordered. It's a retool of the Clone Trooper that came out just post Attack of the Clones. And it's the Arc Heavy Gunner. It looks great. I hate that they keep teasing me like this. And I was even more insulted, I have to tell you, when I walked into...
He's pointing at me, folks, by the way.
To Walmart.
I'm getting the finger.
To Walmart the
other
day.
Finger.
And they had a big display, and there was a Bumblebee Unleashed on the top of the thing. And I said, if it's not going to work for Star Wars, it's not working for Transformers, you're only fooling yourself. And then a couple people looked at me, and I was asked politely to leave.
Take that, Hasbro. Oh, my gosh.
But no, so I'm glad it's back. I hope that sales are enough to keep pushing them in the direction to keep it going. So
let's hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It's on that respirator. You
yes,
know?
It is.
Just when you think it flatlines.
It has become the story of whether we let it die or we keep it going in case it
revives itself. I almost wish that
itself.
another licensee might pick it up. You know, Hasbro was sharing the love on the 12-inch. With Sideshow, maybe they could share the love on the Unleashed with, like, Gentle Giant or something.
Or just charge more, for crying out loud.
Well, easier said than done.
Yes.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
I'm like Mr. Miyagi and Yoda rolled into one.
Much advice you seek.
Do you know who that is?
Fozzie Bear?
No. That was Yoda.
The galaxy is listening.
Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, just when you thought it was safe that you would never hear that music again, we were bringing it back. We wanted to just sort of talk about some of the things we didn't get a chance to talk to while we were actually out in Los Angeles.
Our final wrap, if you will.
I wouldn't say final.
Well, nothing's ever final.
We got a lot
just
of audio
check the
on
Unleashed
this thing.
For crying
That's right.
out loud.
That's right. That's right. It'll just keep coming back. But there was so much to talk about. Getting back from Celebration 4, it was interesting to read the story about Natalie Portman. Did you hear about this?
I did.
Well, according to a UK tabloid, and of course we know how
reliable source.
Right. They were saying that Natalie Portman was apparently disappointed at not being invited to Celebration 4. According to her, and of course they're quoting now, "It's upsetting. You'd have thought, being the queen, I would have at least received a letter."
That's a good impression, by the way.
Oh, I wasn't really going for it, but...
it came through.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so that was the story coming out of C4, and then later over on IMDb, it came out that her publicist was firing back at these reports that the actress was upset that she wasn't invited to attend the 30th anniversary of Star Wars in L.A. The British tabloids ran with the story and quoted Portman, but the publicist insists that the story is untrue. She was misquoted, and she wouldn't have been able to attend the party anyway.
She wasn't even in the country.
Yeah, she wasn't in the country. So this is false, she says. Well, I'm not surprised. At first when I read the story, there was a part of me that was like, before I realized it was a UK tabloid, I thought, that's interesting. Hey, maybe they thought, oh, she'll never come.
Yeah.
I could see that. You know, you've thrown parties before.
Yeah, I did that a lot.
They'll never show up.
I did that a lot in high school.
You ended up alone, didn't you?
Yes. Nobody will come to this one. Here I am by myself again.
Well, but.
And certainly Natalie Portman never did.
Well, so she didn't show up to Celebration 4, and I'm sure that she was invited.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure that the word went out to all of the folks that were involved in the films, and the ones that The ones that wanted to come did.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. We're grateful for the ones that were there.
They were great.
And for the ones that weren't.
Well played.
Yeah. Mr. Hamill. That's for you. But you were my boyhood hero. You can't show up.
You know, the rumor was that his son was there.
There was rumors. There were rumors that his son was hanging around and that he might show up himself and cause a ruckus.
On the last day. Well,
it would have been just like that episode of Freakazoid when Fanboy sees Mark Hamill. You ever seen that one? That cartoon?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You and I may be the only two that have seen it, but
Freakazoid? Oh, that's some great stuff, man.
It is good
stuff. Anyway.
But anyway.
So I have a feeling that they probably covered their bases, the folks, Mary Franklin, Steve Sansweet, and all the folks putting this together.
Sure they did. And really, if they wanted to come, it's not like they would have had to do anything other than go, hey, I want to be there.
Well, yeah, and was it a secret?
No, I'm pretty sure everybody...
I mean, you went to any Star Wars fan site for the last 6 months, and it was nothing but Celebration 4 Los Angeles. Celebration 4 Los Angeles. You listen to the Force Cast. That's all it's been.
And we know they do.
Some of them do. Some of them do. So anyway, that's the Natalie Portman story.
False.
Yeah. So we'll see her...
Liar!
We'll see her at C5, I'm sure. Along with Mark Hamill.
Yes.
You never know how these things get around, but we thought we would bring you up to date. I know that we have a lot of listeners that are really interested in Fanboys, and if you didn't have a chance to attend the panel, and then there was kind of a sneak preview of like 40, 45 minutes worth of footage, it just kept going. It was like, are they going to show the whole movie? This is great. But the sequences, I think, I don't know if they were in order or not. I couldn't tell.
I think they were generally in order.
Yeah.
And,
but there was enough gaps
it was incomplete.
It was really pretty clever the way they did it because it didn't really give that much away, in a sense. They did a great job of keeping the real, what I would say, like key moments.
Yeah.
Out of there. But really funny stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It was a riot.
But if you go over to theforce.net, we have a link to a YouTube video that is some behind-the-scenes footage, so you might want to check that out. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, just really entertaining stuff, you know, and things you would expect to go on behind the scenes of a Star Wars
parody film.
You know, Kyle Newman standing there just kind of twirling a lightsaber, a Force FX lightsaber. That's the kind of thing that you would expect.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, playing with the props.
Yes,
and
running after each other. And that type of,
we alluded on our live show from out in L.A. to, I've never seen any walk do that. And you can see a little bit of that on this video.
Yes.
So see it now before it gets pulled.
Yes. You never know what's going
to
happen.
And we know that those folks do listen to this show.
But hey, once it's on there, you know, YouTube isn't all that... all that apt to help out, pull them out. They're like, well, I'm throwing my hands
up. It depends on who you are.
That's true.
But like I say, the folks behind Fanboys do listen to the show, so get in there fast. Yeah. Also, we can talk a little bit about my history with Sideshow, my recent history with Sideshow. You know, part of any celebration or any big con is, of course, the exclusives. I had two goals. Going in. Technically four. But I don't really count the Hasbro stuff because I had a pretty good feeling after the C-3 Vader that I was really not in any danger of not getting the Macquarie Luke or the Macquarie droids. But I wanted the Gentle Giant Yoda and R2 animated. Mm-hmm. That was really the primary goal that I had. Why, you ask? Well, because I had already pre-ordered my Sideshow Luke. What could go wrong? All right.
And I have to throw my contrast in here is that my short and sweet story is that I pre-ordered it. I walked over there when there was crazy lines everywhere else. I gave them my slip. I walked away with my Sideshow Luke, and it was great.
Yeah, we're all happy for you. So let's talk about Gentle Giant. I want to say this was Friday.
Yeah,
Friday. Friday morning, which was the first kind of official day. You know, Thursday was fan club day. We were able to get there early. We were working the con, so to speak. And so a group of us were kind of milling about the Gentle Giant booth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we were stalking. I'll be honest. We were stalking the booth. But we weren't creating any kind of a ruckus. We weren't being loud. We weren't being obnoxious. We weren't creating any kind of a fire hazard. We weren't clumped. You know, we were just kind of milling about. And heck, I was over there talking to the Macquarie guys, truth be told.
Of course you were.
Very conveniently close to the Gentle Giant booth. But
conveniently positioned.
At any rate, all of a sudden, the Gentle Giant Mafia, they come out and they're like, hey, if I see any of your faces in this line once we open shop here, you're not getting any merchandise. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I can. And I can tell you that I can from this standpoint. The insanity that ensued when the doors opened.
Whose fault is that?
Well, I'm not going to point fingers here. But I will say, even for the Hasbro exclusives, and even for the Hasbro or the ToyShop.com exclusives and the store exclusives, it was madness, and it stems a lot from people just being complete jerks about the whole thing. And I'm not talking the people working there. I'm talking the people trying to get these, who would, you know, step on a four-year-old and throw their mother out of the way.
Well, that's where it really stems
from, is just the insanity of people trying to get these, and I kind of understand it. But again, by the end of the
there's a way to talk to people.
But
you know,
it's one of those things that it goes downhill exponentially. So it doesn't go from being nice to being somewhat unpleasant. It goes from being nice to being completely jerks about it because everybody else is being jerks about it.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, what they wanted to avoid was the vendors.
Yeah.
The vendors getting a hold of the Gentle Giant exclusives and then turning around and selling them.
Which, unfortunately, happened anyway.
It happened anyway. It's going to happen. But in the process, there were a lot of people that were, you know, media or just other folks that were associated with the convention that were fans and wanted to get these items. And to come out there and now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's official Gentle Giant policy. Because I wanted to say, sir, what is your problem exactly? I'm just trying to give you money. Okay? So give me my Yoda. Good day, sir.
Well,
which sounds very childish, and I understand.
I feel your pain, but again, it stems out of just a tide of bad problems that have come from, you know, like you said, vendors and reselling. Yeah.
But anyway, so what happened is they started breaking up this group, but I'm wee little, and so I just pretended like my mom was lost or something, or I was lost. And so I just kind of started circling the booth because they had mentioned that no one was going to know. This was their brilliance. No one's going to know where we're starting the line. Okay, so what do you do for the 35,000 people waiting outside the doors, you know, that are practically bursting the doors down? So I'm walking around the booth, and all of a sudden, the dude, the Gentle Giant dude, grabs me by the shoulder and says, you're first in line.
What? Dumb luck.
Dumb luck. First in line. Got my Yoda R2. So I'm thinking by this point, I'm golden. I got the toughest exclusive that I wanted to get. I know I'm going to get the Macquarie stuff. So I just got to pick up my Yavin Luke. I'll do it tomorrow. Next day, Sideshow Luke. Ah, I forgot my reform. I'll do it tomorrow. Last day of the con, Monday. Aha! I remembered that morning.
You did.
I grabbed my form. Get over to the convention center, walk up, like, I'd like to get my Sideshow Luke now, please. Oh, I'm sorry. You needed to pick that up yesterday by noon. I'm sorry. There must be some mistake. I already ordered it. You see, you charged my credit card for it, and there's one right behind you. So if you could just, you know, hand that over, and I'll be on my way. Thanks. She was nice enough to tell me that I would be completely refunded for this item. I said, ma'am, that really doesn't help. Because I'm less concerned, just ask my wife. I'm less concerned about the money, more concerned about the toy. So anyway.
It's true.
Long story short, I didn't get that. I didn't get it. I did get the Gentle Giant R2 and Yoda, so I really shouldn't complain. I did get my Luke. Thanks to you, I got my Luke and my, of course, then the night before, we'd all hit the store, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I got to say, the store ran beautifully.
Yeah, that was a triumph.
What an improvement over Celebration 3. Beautiful.
That was a triumph.
Beautiful. When I got back, I got an email from Sideshow, and it was worded very politely. They're like, we just wanted to inform you that since you didn't pick up your item, you know, your credit card's going to be refunded, blah, blah, blah. So I write back. I'm like, you know, long lines, busy. Could you at least take this into consideration? I totally forgot that it was Sunday by noon when the convention goes until Monday, you know, afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking I had to get it while I was there. So I actually got a nice email back, and they said, well, really sorry that you're disappointed, but how about we just kind of put you at the top of the wait list? We see that you're a good customer. You bought a lot of stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
so hopefully I'll get it.
Yeah, I foresee that this will have a very pleasant resolution.
I am 2 for 2 on the wait list.
You are.
The Mace Windu, mm-hmm. and I was just informed that the Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
Yeah, Episode 4 Leia. So you got to take a chance on these wait lists. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Yeah. I'm just going to end up with...
And that's for the exclusive versions. So
right.
That's pretty cool.
So I think this will have a pleasant resolution. But again, I have to reiterate that I did remember my form, and I went and picked it up, and it was fast and easy.
Pete couldn't have had a better or easier time.
I couldn't have had the better experience. And
much like earlier today, when we were trying to get the Sideshow Ben.
Yes.
You know, the figure that I started collecting this entire line for. So I'm at work, Pete's at work, and we're chatting like through Google, and I'm like, okay, 10 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. I was giving him updates. We kept hitting refresh, and I'm like, okay, the site's getting slower now, so it must be updating. So I actually got on there before him. I'm logging in. I'm like, I'm in. And so the Ben page shows up, and there's that little button to purchase. So I'm like, aha, purchase. Error. All right. Refresh. Log back in. Okay, I'm in. Purchase. Error. Meanwhile, Pete has not gotten back in, and it's 15 minutes into the pre-order at this point, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm like, you know, I'm just snake bitten with this company now. They've got it in for me. I don't understand. Do you think they sabotaged me?
I think they have.
I think I take them off.
You should really.
I love you, sir. I love you, Sideshow.
Yeah, you better start changing your tune.
You
pal.
Too.
That purchase button's never
going to
work.
Joe Pesci over there at Gentle Giant. Yeah, you in the dark sunglasses.
Yeah, we know who you are.
Yeah. But
anyway.
The nice thing is Pete was able to not only get his own, but then log out, log back in with my stuff, and get one for me. And I still, I mean, I was just out of curiosity. I kept trying that purchase button. Still.
Huh.
Still was having problems there after, you know, I knew you'd already gotten mine, so.
Interesting.
So anyway, we'll see what happens with me and Sideshow. We'll keep you updated. I'm sure you're all just riveted
yes.
by this. Some of the other cool things at Celebration 4 aside, do you have anything to add to the exclusives other than that Sideshow just couldn't have worked out better for you?
It was amazing pandemonium, and you weep for the human race at some points when you see some of the stuff that goes on there. But again, by the end of the convention, they were giving away the Macquarie droids. They were, you know.
Yeah, they were probably throwing them.
Right,
they were probably throwing them at you.
it wasn't worth it. The craziness of the first 2 days just wasn't worth it when it came down to it. So that's all I'll say on that, and we probably need to move on.
Probably. Is that a hint?
Yes.
Okay. Billy D. Williams, it never gets old here at the Force Cast.
Business, baby.
We have some audio from Billy's panel. We weren't able to go. We were doing something else at that point. That was the Sunday.
Yeah, it was.
Sunday was
absolute
madness.
Because
we were trying to catch up on all the things, and half of the day was just, are we going to get in to see the Clone Wars deal?
Yeah. Standing next to, getting turned away right next to Pete Vilmer. That's what I didn't feel so bad about it, when he's got to sit there and argue and go, no, this, look, I'm Pete Vilmer. I work for Lucasfilm. And they're sorry, nobody gets in through here. And some 15-year-old kid, oh, sorry, nobody gets through here. Sorry.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
We've got some, luckily, Jimmy Mack's brother, Billy Mack, was on the scene at the Billy D. Williams panel, and so we've got some sound from that. Here's Billy D., answering the immortal question.
I've been wanting to ask you this for years now. Does it work every time?
I try to let it. I hope it does. Not every time, but I make a one hell of an effort. It depends on the situation.
Sounds like a yes.
No, that's not it. No, it works every time. You're Billy T. Williams. The guy's gold. It's gold every time.
Every time he opens his mouth. We've got some more from Billy D. And if you haven't had a chance, make sure you listen to the special report from the Billy D. Press conference Jimmy and I were at. It was a lot of fun. Billy D. was great.
When I used to pick my little daughter up from school, in elementary school, the kids would run up to me in the schoolyard and say, "You betrayed Han Solo! You betrayed Han Solo!" And I'd be in the middle of the schoolyard trying to explain and, you know, who this character is and why he had to do what he had to do. But I also went through that with stewardesses on airplanes. You know, and
what else went on between you and stewardesses on airplanes, I wonder?
Well, after me being after them considering me betraying Han Solo, not very much.
Not a lot. So people would actually be mad at you. They could not separate you from that character, which is maybe a tribute to how well you played it.
Well, they just didn't understand Lando and what his situation was. I mean, the guy, you know, he tried to prevent the complete, absolute demise of these people when he found himself being confronted with, yes, he's like that.
Uh-huh.
He's exactly like that.
And
was that Billy? That, I wonder if that was Billy Mack Billy. That yelled that out at the end.
And for anybody who did miss it, when Jimmy Mack said there was no one else that could have pulled that character off like you did, other than you, you know what his reply was? You're absolutely right about that. I kid you not, he said, absolutely. That's my man.
That's where you got it.
You're absolutely right.
A panel that I did go to, however, was the Irvin Kershner, and that was incredible. I took notes. I took notes mainly so they wouldn't kick me out of the room in between panels. I'm like, yes, I'm a journalist. I'm very busy here. Do not bother me. Do you know who I am? But Irvin Kershner, I mean, what an honor to be in that guy's presence. I mean, responsible for arguably the best film in all six. He believes that's the case. Just about everybody in the audience believes that that's the case. And here's a guy that doesn't do a lot of conventions. And so just some interesting things about him. He started out as a musician. He's also a photographer. He's a lecturer. He considers himself quite the traveler. Screenwriter, was a former teacher at USC. Of course, his most famous student, I guess, would be George Lucas. They asked what he thought about George as a student, and he said that he always knew he was special. And in a total class of his own, and always had his own unique vision about everything. So, I mean, that's about what you would expect.
Sure.
When George, of course, approached him to direct Empire, he said no. At first, he said, "You got one of the biggest movies ever." He said, "You know, it's just not. Why would you ruin it with a sequel?" And it wasn't until he believed that he could create something better than Star Wars that he had decided to do it. And what he felt was the key was making you love the characters. Everything he said, from the Tauntaun to 3PO, R2, that he wanted you to feel anxiety when they were in trouble. And that sounds really simple, but it's actually quite profound, because you do kind of mourn for the Tauntaun when he freezes to death and he falls over and he's got that little shudder. And then he provides the warmth for Luke. And I mean,
and not easily accomplished by any means.
No. I mean, later you find out at the VFX Rockstars panel just how difficult a lot of those shots were. We'll get to that in just a minute. But and so when I went back and watched Empire after I saw Kirsch speak, and gosh, everything that he wanted, it seemed like, that he brought out in this panel that he wanted to get across in this film, he did, and did so in spades. I mean, amazing stuff. Some other things. He said, he called George, he said, well, as far as producer, he was the best that he ever worked for. Biggest reason there was that George really had this feeling, and he expressed that, you'll figure it out. You know,
that was a very common theme.
Yeah, a very common theme through all through the panels. The panels is that folks that work with George, you know, well, you figure it out. And I don't think in a snide way, but, you know, I've hired the best. Mm-hmm. I asked you to do this. You know, I hired you for this gig for a reason. You're the best. You'll figure it out. No micromanaging there, it sounds like. He told some great stories about them trying to get breath to come out of the tauntauns, mm-hmm. some steam out of their nose. And so they were built with these hoses that would actually pipe this smoke out of the nose, and it didn't work, of course. So you had the guys on set that were smokers, and they were smoking these cigarettes and then blowing the smoke out of the nose of the tauntaun to, you know, give it some breath. Just one of those kind of clever little things that you do on a movie set, I'm sure. They asked him about, well, what do you think about the prequels versus the original trilogy? And his response is, I like my picture the best. And he really does feel it, you know, as his picture. He said one of the most liberating things as a director was the fact that anything he could think of, and George told him this, anything you can think of, ILM will find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
ILM will do it. And great story, too, about the famous climactic scene where David Prowse and Mark Hamill are about to do the I Am Your Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that page was actually out of the script.
Right.
The script that everybody got. And so Kirsch was feeding Dave Prowse junky lines, as he called them.
I was feeding him junky lines. You know, things like, we'll take over the galaxy, you know, stuff like this. And
but what he had to do is he noticed that because Prowse was saying these lines that weren't all that impactful, he wasn't really putting much into the performance physically. So he said he talked to him, and he actually gave him those hand gestures that you see, reaching his hand out, pulling it back in the fist, all of those things that we take from that moment, and that we remember from that scene, so that they would go with the eventual dialogue that was recorded. So pretty interesting. I'd be interested to know from David Prowse's perspective, if we get a chance to talk to him again, what, you know, how he reacted to being so directed. I mean, that's really being directed when he tell you what hand gestures to use.
Right.
One thing that he said too, which I thought was great, you know, I'm a big fan of Mark Hamill and his performance in these films. He just said, I really want to make it clear, I feel that Mark Hamill did just an extraordinary job in this film. In that scene, particularly when the I Am Your Father scene, he said you really ached for him, you really felt for him. Mm-hmm. And he also brought up some interesting things about the Dagobah shoot, where you had Frank Oz, who was below Mark Hamill on the set, elevated the set like they do, you know, for the anytime they're doing, you know, kind of Muppet type filming. And they couldn't hear each other. So they rehearsed the scenes with earpieces. But you couldn't have the earpieces in for the filming. So what you see on camera is them not hearing each other, but just remembering the timing. They rehearsed it to the point where they had the timing of the dialogue down. They knew how long to wait and how long to pause, and they did it. It's phenomenal. When you go back and watch that scene, you're like, it blows me away.
It's cinematic magic.
Absolutely. He said of all his films that Empire was the one that gave him the best feeling of accomplishment. And, of course, the great, great story about the I love you, I know bit, and
yeah,
the little people in the Ugnaught costumes passing out because it was so it was so hot.
Yes.
And hopefully we're going to actually have this panel, the audio of this panel, available, the entire thing. We did capture it. Here's one of my favorite clips. This is when he was asked what his favorite moment from Empire Strikes Back was. Here it is.
This film has given me more memories than any other film. It took 6 months to shoot, which is an awful long time. I've never shot more than 3 months on a picture. If I can remember anything, I think I remembered a dumb little scene that made me actually laugh. Luke goes into Yoda's house, and they're inside, and I cut outside, and I had R2-D2 at the window, but he couldn't see. He was like a little kid. So I had them build the thing so that the feet did this, and he raised himself up to look through the window. I loved R2-D2 at that moment because he was not only a brilliant, fantastic man, or whatever he was, but he was also childlike. And I believe that having that childlike attitude was part of the zen of that character.
And there were a lot of applause lines like that. It was a phenomenal panel, and I could go on forever about it, but obviously, but I won't, because Pete keeps looking at the clock. Stop looking at the clock. I'm going to put a post-it over there.
I'm sorry.
This is our big C4 wrap-up
show. I was checking levels.
This is podcasting, not radio, for God's sake. But also another panel that we didn't get to was the Anthony Daniels panel, and we got a little bit of audio here from that, courtesy, again, of Jimmy Mack, Anthony Daniels. I'm trying to remember what the question was about. But I think Jay Lagaya asks about, after all these years, is this something that you still love? Do you still love this character?
My question to you is there a love? Do you still love this character? And yes. Are you amazed at how everyone in the world knows this character?
Yes and yes. I'm tremendously fond of him. I know he's a little strange, but there are reasons for that. He's been very kind to me all these years. He's taken me around the world quite a few times. And I wouldn't be the same without him. Mind you, neither would he be the same without me. And I am amazed that, yeah, people like him. I'm pleased people like him.
You were forced, weren't you, to go and see George?
Oh, yes, I wasn't interested in the role. We all know this, don't we? That I refused to meet George Lucas. And the thing that got to me was Ralph McQuarrie's painting on the wall of the office. And actually, in one of the exhibition halls, there's a Ralph McQuarrie stand. Go look at the book of his drawings and paintings. Super, absolutely superb.
It really was, in a lot of ways, kind of the weekend of Ralph McQuarrie.
Mm.
I mean, between the exclusive figures, Hasbro's announcement of the actual Ralph McQuarrie himself figure as he appeared in The Empire Strikes Back, and just the wild success that John and Stan and Paul and Athena and all of them there at the Art of Ralph McQuarrie had over the weekend. That was a name that every time it was brought up in a panel, people just went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Yeah,
is great.
It's the way it should be.
His contribution. I don't think you can say enough about it. And you actually, was it you or was it Jimmy that got some video of Anthony Daniels actually over at the Ralph McQuarrie?
That was me.
That
yeah,
was
they,
you.
He was over there for a signing briefly, and just great.
Yeah, they had a guest book because Ralph, of course, just wasn't able to make it. But they had a nice guest book that you could sign, and they were going around and hitting up a lot of the actors for some video footage so they could, you know, with a greeting to Ralph. So I'm kind of hoping maybe they put that online, you know, if it's not too personal, because it would be great to see. And, of course, the actors were all too willing to record
sure.
something for Ralph. And
sure.
a lot of the sentiment is the same as expressed by Anthony Daniels.
And that was, of course, my favorite stop in the morning. Was I had to make
every
my
morning,
stop
right.
at,
yeah, right.
at the Art of Ralph McQuarrie book and talk to Joe and Paul and Athena and Stan and John and everybody over there. And they were so great. They were so much fun to hang around with. So that,
yeah.
that was my...
They're a group that I really miss, too.
Yeah, that started my day. That was like, all right, I'm going to go over and see those guys now. And that'll wake me up. I don't need coffee. I can just go over there and hang out with
you
them.
You don't need coffee when Athena's around.
No.
She's got energy for everybody.
Yes. And a smile to kill.
Oh yeah, yeah. What a
they
sweetheart.
Were great. They were sweet. They were. I can't say enough about them. So I'm going to just stop right now.
One of the other panels that I caught was the visual effects rock stars, and one of the folks that was in attendance stood up and said, you know, I running the risk of sounding like I'm just kissing your guys' butts. You really are rock stars.
Oh yeah.
It was Richard Edlund, Ken Ralston, John Knoll, Dennis Muren, and Phil Tippett. I mean, the collective. You know, stories that they had. I mean, John Knoll kind of came out because he's sort of the newer guy on the block, the newer kid on the block, in a
sense. He's the one that everybody knows and
right.
from the prequels and that type
right.
of thing.
Right. One of the most recent ILMers and recent Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and just talked about how he got into the business, and he actually got a tour of ILM when he was a kid. Got a hookup through his dad, and he saw these guys doing this stuff, and he was like, yeah, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And was able to do that. But some interesting things here. There was a sense of, I don't know what the word is, maybe melancholy or something, that the old school guys like Phil Tippett and Dennis Muren feeling that there's something lost when you don't have that ability to touch your work like you did in the old days when you're making models, as opposed to the computer stuff. And Richard Edlund said he compared it to going from being a blacksmith to a neurosurgeon, you know, going from photochemistry to digital film.
Mm-hmm.
And just it's leaps and bounds, you know, different. But Phil Tippett was saying, you know, I kind of miss the cuts and the bruises and the real consequences, the real danger mm-hmm. of blowing up these models. I mean, these guys were like pyromaniacs. I mean, with doing the we've all seen the making of videos of the trench run and the Death Star and these little model kits blowing up and stuff like that. And Phil Tippett also told a great story about when he was operating the Rancor puppet, and he smacked his hand when he had the puppet on. He's like, we got to get this shot. So he just kept going.
It was a light that came down and crushed the webbing of his hand between his thumb and his finger. It was,
right. And so he didn't pay any attention to it, and his whole hand swelled up. So he ran around for hours with this puppet because they didn't want to destroy the puppet and, like, cut it off his hand. So he ran around with the Rancor on his hand. I mean,
so funny.
Just imagine what it would be like to be with those guys. Really amazing time, for sure. So, I don't know if we have the audio of that or not.
Do we have a clip?
We'll have to ask you. We don't have a clip. No,
have a clip?
There's no clip.
No clip.
But again, just going back to this theme that Phil Tippett had said that, you know, just George has faith in his people that we will figure things out. And, you know, Dennis Muren said when they were making Star Wars, there wasn't a day that went by that they weren't inventing something.
Right.
And
it was out of necessity, completely
right.
out of necessity.
Exactly. And they were just expected to do so. So, we could just go on. I mean, it was, all I can say is it was the absolute best time of my life. I've never experienced anything like it. And the thing that surprised me the most, as fun as the panels were, as fun as, seeing the actors and everything, it was the camaraderie amongst the team, the Force.net, Rebelscum.com, and the ForceCast, all of us coming together, most of us never having met each other. And it was like we'd known each other for our whole, forever. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put into words what it was like when we walked back from the convention center and stopped at Subway, at 10 o'clock at night. It was you, me, and Dan Curto. And just listening to Dan talk about Hasbro and talk about figures and stuff like that. It was kind of like the amazing amount of detail that he remembers and everything like that. And it's like that with everybody over there. You know, everybody's got their niche or whatever, and it was just so
their
much
speciality,
fun.
Yeah.
Their speciality. Some are Sith Lords, others, you know. But and I agree with you 100% on that. That there were two really big impressions that I walked away with from this convention. One was personal and one was just about Star Wars in general. And the personal was what it meant, how much my universe expanded. And I'm talking more of just the people that I met, the relationships that I forged. You know, it was emotional leaving the convention center and leaving the hotel and all those things and knowing that it's going to be some time before I see these people, if ever. And there were some absolutely great people. You know, I really enjoyed spending time actually with Jay Shepard and Dustin Roberts and those guys just really bringing me along, and then meeting all the people who were really happy to meet us. And, you know, and in retrospect,
that was amazing too.
Yeah. As, you know, hearing that people who do other podcasts like Chris and CJ from Internet Hollow Net, or I always trip over that every single time.
I always
want to
use the I as internet too. Yes, I don't know why.
Imperial Hollow Net Radio, who were, you know, who in their podcast talked about how wonderful it was to meet us. And it's like, no, that's the other way around. You know, it was just great to meet you guys. And it was great meeting the people that all came up for the live show, and just getting to know all those people. And again, all the people that we've met in doing this podcast, you know, doing interviews and things like that, and getting out there and seeing that these people are even better people than they are interviews. And they, you know, it was
well
so
said.
Much fun to talk to all these people and to every day get away from somebody, from the people that we've talked to. And
I have to say that there was only one disappointment. We had no haters.
We didn't.
We didn't get booed. We thought we got booed.
We thought we did.
We're walking down the one of our many treks across the
back and forth,
the miles of the convention center, and we hear, "Forcecast sucks." And at first, my first reaction is to geek, like, ticked off. And I'm like, no, that's kind of cool, actually. Yeah, we have haters.
Nice to have people
we
that
have
are...
arrived.
Yeah, yeah, that's
we actually
right.
have haters. And it turned out it was the fanboys crew. It was Kyle.
It was Kyle and Matt and all those guys walking
little,
up there.
I was a little disappointed.
It was very funny, though, but it was also because it was kind of like, oh, it's just Kyle. Jeez. You know, but it's like, and that was the whole, that encapsulates the surreal moments that everything was. You know, I remember walking around at one point.
Am I just being mocked by the fanboys director?
I remember walking around at, and he was great, by the way, you know, always saying hi to everybody and saying hi to us and just, well, we won't, Kyle, you can't listen right now if you are listening, but he's just the total genuine item. And
yes,
you can't have a nicer guy, and I'll talk about this in a second, but you can't have a better guy charged with that type of thing. But moving on, just kind of the surreal moments were, you know, looking at being there before the doors opened and kind of getting things ready and getting our plan set up and seeing somebody walk by and go, I don't know if that guy's supposed to be there. And then thinking to yourself, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know, what is this?
I remember seeing Will Ferrell interviewed once, and he was being talked to about being at some party, a party after the Academy Awards or something like that. And he said he kept thinking to himself, at some point, someone's going to tap him on the shoulder and say, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be here. I had that same feeling. You know, when I'm sitting down in the hotel lobby and there's Anthony Daniels and there's Dave Prowse and there's Peter Mayhew, that someone is going to just tap me like, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to be here. Or at the Master Replica party.
You are disturbing the celebrities. Please leave.
But it was... You're right. Talk about surreal moments. Again, sitting there at dinner and like, all right, there's Darth Vader and there's Chewbacca and there's R2-D2.
There's Darth Maul.
Yeah, R2 and C-3PO and Darth Maul. And all these great actors. And you're right. They're better people even than they are interviews. And it was a pleasure to be around them and a pleasure to be part of the team.
Yes. And then my second point.
Oh, no.
I do have a second. But my second point was about Star Wars in general. The reoccurring theme for me the entire weekend was that the people that are charged with Star Wars and making the decisions about Star Wars now are the people like us, like all of our listeners who grew up with Star Wars, who have an undying love for Star Wars. And it's so great that these people are the ones that are charged with continuing things. You know, you go from Stan and John with the Ralph McQuarrie book and Kyle with Fanboys and Seth MacFarlane and Seth Green with Robot Chicken and Family Guy and Dave Filoni with the Clone Wars, and all these people just have such a love and such a passion
Chris and Courtney.
How could I possibly forget them? With Chris and Courtney and some of the other independent films that were there and the fan films and the people that got up there for Star Wars Celebrity. I mean, Star Wars is, of course, alive and well, and it's just so nice to know. I sleep better at night now knowing that these people are the people that are in charge, and even Daryl DePriesta with Hasbro and those panels that we got to see, they genuinely enjoy doing this, and you can tell that they have a lot vested in trying to get some of these.
It's
these
more
toys
than just a business
because they
realize that it's more than just selling toys, or it's more than just pushing products, because This is really, to use a cliche, it is a phenomenon. And it's something that we take seriously, and maybe some too seriously, but it's such a part of our lives, and it's, you know, Star Wars is really kind of, for folks in our generation, sort of the soundtrack of our life, mm-hmm. in a way. I guess I can think back to a lot of different milestones in my life where I think back kind of like, okay, this is my Luke Skywalker moment, you know. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm crossing, I'm entering the cantina right now, you know, in a sense, which they brought up in the Legacy Revealed, that moment. So, you're right, and the fact that these people are stewards of this property, of this story, of this universe, it couldn't be in better hands.
Yeah, I joke saying, you know, I sleep better at night, but I did walk away with it, a feeling going, This is just the start,
right?
This is a new era. It's a renaissance of the Star Wars franchise. It's now going to improve itself.
This is just the beginning.
Yes, it's going to improve itself just because of who's in charge.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we've got lots of feedback and listener voicemail, but we're only going to get to a few of it because we're already running long. We can stop Pete. You stopped looking at the clock.
After you chastised me, I had no choice.
Well, you got all excited about and nostalgic about Celebration.
Yeah, so that helped. Giddy.
So, he's a little misty right now,
so
folks.
So forget the time clock. I'm having fun.
That's the beauty of podcasting. Well, anyway, we've got a we mentioned earlier The Force Among Us, a fabulous... not fan film,
no,
but
independent film.
Independent film about fans. Chris and Courtney Macht, and the film features Dan Madsen, Dustin Roberts, and a number of Star Wars fans. Their cousin Glenn,
yes,
who we met, great guy and a man after my own heart. I saw him on doing the toy runs. I talked to him after. I said, "Man, that brings back a lot of memories." I don't do the toy runs anymore, but he loves The Hunt, so. But great folks, and we wanted to alert you that there still are limited quantities of the 30th Anniversary Celebration Edition DVD available for $19.77. So $19.77, if you didn't catch that. And we got a lot of different extras and extended interviews. There's more Norway footage, and if you'd listened to some previous... First day with a new tongue. If you listen to the previous Forcecast, you know that there was a nice moment where Chris Macht got to ask Kirshner a question, and the answer he didn't really get the answer that he was looking for, and arrangements were made that the two of them would meet personally, which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
So, also as a true celebration piece, there are limited vials of actual Tatooine sand from the deserts of Tunisia that are going to be packaged with a limited number of these Celebration Edition DVDs. So make sure you check it out, theforceamongus.com. We have a voicemail from Mike in Illinois who actually attended a screening, right?
Yes.
Of The Force Among Us, and here's his review.
Hey guys, Mike from Illinois here. I listen to the podcast regularly, and I just wanted to call about a couple of things. First, a big thank you to all of you guys at the Forcecast, theforce.net, and Rebel Scum for making sure those of us who couldn't attend Celebration 4 were not left behind. Your guys' coverage was outstanding, and helped me bring a small sense of what it was like to be there to me, so I really appreciate that. And second, I just returned home from the screening of the Force Among Us documentary. I think Chris and Courtney and Frank and crew have done a good job of capturing the many facets of fandom, from collecting to costuming to visiting the filming locations. What I really liked about the film was its central message. While people choose different ways to express their fandom, it is the love of Star Wars that binds us together. As you guys have mentioned before on the show, it's great being with people with whom you have this unspoken connection. It was cool watching the film with an audience tonight that just gets it. All of us immediately connected with or laughed at things that would probably puzzle the non-Star Wars fans watching the film. So I really recommend seeing the film with other fans to really appreciate it. It's a really nice film about fans and for fans. So my hat's off to Chris and Courtney for their vision. And hopefully this can give your listeners some first impressions of the film. So that's about it. Keep up the outstanding work on the podcast. Thanks for everything, guys. Bye.
And thank you.
And that gives you a nice perspective from somebody who has seen the film.
So. Yeah, so Mike in Illinois, we thank you for that. And thank you for the kind words about our coverage. It is exactly what we set out
to intention.
Do. And
And if you have,
and we had a ball doing it.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work, but is it really work when you? I couldn't really wait. I was like, it was like Christmas Eve every night. I couldn't wait to get up the next morning.
Yeah, I was looking
forward
to
which was a good thing because it was only 2 hours away right. The next morning. Usually by the time I went to bed. So
right.
Let's see what else have we got. We've got Eric from Maryland, a Forcecast listener, a longtime Forcecast listener. And we had the pleasure of meeting Eric, and he left us this voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's Eric from Maryland calling. I'm just calling in to share my Celebration 4 experience. It was my first convention. I didn't really know what to think. And I had a great time. My favorite events were the Legacy of the Force author panel and the Clone Wars TV series panel. The Legacy authors were really nice, and Troy Denning was hilarious. When someone asked what the author's favorite character romances were, Troy Denning commented, "I'm a Jane the Zek fan. You should have read the scene they made me cut from Dark Nest." The Clone Wars panel was very informative, and the sneak peek at the series was the most amazing thing I saw that day. I was even able to meet up with the Forcecast crew and get you guys to sign my Forcecast shirt. Sorry that I wasn't there for your live podcast in the fan club lounge. I have school on Tuesday. I needed to get back on Monday, so I had to miss most of Sunday's events. Thanks again for doing such a great job with your C4 coverage. Talk to you soon, and may the Force be with you. Bye.
Thank you, Eric. And
you know, I actually offered... I offered Eric a get-out-of-school pass, but he had already made his arrangements to go back. I said, you know what? Just tell him the Forcecast told you that you could take off. We have that type of pull.
Right. Eric, it was funny. We actually ran into him in the fan club lounge, and I think, did you run into him first?
No, you did.
Did I? Because I turned around, and I thought maybe you had brought him over to me. I turned around, and I look, and we get a little numb to the logo because we look at it all the time, and I'm like, that's a Forcecast logo. That's on that kid's hat and on that kid's shirt and on his bag. He was decked out, man.
He was decked out.
In Forcecast stuff.
He really did it up right.
What a great kid.
Yes.
It was
much better to meet, again, another person, much better to meet him in person.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a great kid, and
we had a lot of
really
fun with him. And then
anymore.
Well, that's true. We're old, Pete. Come on,
we are. We're
old. And he did bring his T-shirt up for us to sign, and I think we managed to get everybody on it.
I think so
because I think you showed up there at the very end.
Yes,
and he was able to get yours, but I know we got Jimmy and Jay and mine. And was that weird? I mean. Was that crazy having people asking us to sign stuff? I mean, it was cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't turn it down.
I loved every second of it. And
but
I
I'm sitting there, I'm like, really? I think I'm lessening the value
of
this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, really? But it was so much fun. And just to have people ask, that was great.
It was an honor just to be asked, even if they were kidding. And here's Will in New Jersey. I don't remember what Will was calling about. What was Will calling?
You know who Will is. Will, we met in Artist Alley with his daughter,
Artist Alley. Right,
he had played the piano on our Yoda microcast, which had gone out while he was at C4. So.
That's right. Because he asked us. He said, "Did you guys ever play that?" And I said, "I think we did," but I was remembering that we had scheduled it for the Frank Oz. Another fantastic microcast, by the way, by Jimmy.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, Will. I do know who you are. Will and his daughter from New Jersey. Take it away, Will.
Hello, Jason and Pete. Ugh, excuse me. Can't say your name. And the rest of the Forcecast. This is Will from New Jersey, Mag11 on the forums. And I want to tell you what a great time my daughter and I had. My daughter, Karina, she's 11 years old, and she and I had a daddy-daughter's weekend. And we went out, flew out to L.A., and we attended the celebration most of the days. We were there on Thursday, on Saturday, and on part of Sunday. We just had an absolute blast, man. It was so much fun. And,
you know, it was crowded, and there were things that we wanted to get into that were closed because there was so many people. But, you know, there were things we did get into, and it was just really just a lot of fun. And I want to tell you what a great time it was we had meeting up with you guys. We met up with you guys. I don't know if you remember. We met up in the artist booth area, and you guys are just like, it was like running in just because we had your shirts on, you know, and you came right up to us, and you treated us like family, and that was just really something special, and it really meant a lot to both of us. You know, Karina is like starstruck with all, you know, and she's, just so you know, she puts you guys right up there with, you know, meeting Tim Rose and, Admiral Akbar, and, oh, yeah, I met Admiral Akbar, and I met, all the Imperial officers, and Boba Fett, and Anakin Skywalker, and Jason and Pete, right in there with everybody else. So, you definitely have a very positive effect on her life as well as you do on mine. So it was really great, great fun. You know, managed to pick up a few of the exclusives. Didn't go crazy, because I tried not to wait in lines for more than an hour, just because I don't like to wait in lines that long. But and I thought they did a good job keeping it organized as best as you can with so many people. So just wanted to give you my report on that. And we weren't there Friday because we decided to go to Disneyland. Big Disney fan too, so we did that. But in the evening, right around what would have been around the 30th. Official 30th anniversary of when Star Wars came out, we did celebrate in our own way by going on Star Tours, and loved every minute of that, and just had a blast. So it was a really nice time, good time for me and my daughter to spend together. And she's now she wasn't as much of a Star Wars fan; she was more of an art fan. She's into comic book art and whatnot, but now she seems to be really getting into Star Wars now. So we had a good time with that. So I look forward to other events, hopefully, in the future that we can run into you guys again and keep up the great work with the podcast, and talk to you later.
Thank you, Will.
Yes, and Will and Karina, the pleasure was all ours.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt. And to everyone that we spoke to, it was, again, insane that people were excited to talk to us because we were just as excited to talk to
everyone. Yeah, I go through life, in my real life, and no one's all that excited to talk to me.
No, in fact, most of the time it feels like it's a labor for them.
In your line of work, no one's excited to talk to you, unfortunately.
And that's when I have to go, do you know who I am?
And they say no.
And they say, what's a pod what?
Hey, you're my insurance adjuster.
Yes.
Just fix my car. But anyway, well, thank you again, Will and Karina. It was a blast to meet you guys, and we ran a little long in this show. We apologize. We just got a couple more quick hits here. Jeff in Buffalo, New York, emailed us to let us know that he loved the MegaCast because he was running a marathon, the Buffalo Marathon. That's why I feel so tired. We helped Jeff run that Buffalo Marathon, and he sent us a really nice email. So you are welcome, Jeff. The pleasure was all ours. We have a lot of fun doing the show. Ryan from Hudson, Wisconsin, just wanted to write in and say that he thought we did an awesome job with the C4 podcasts. He wasn't able to go, but he felt he was there through the shows, and he said the live show you did was one of your best shows. It was fun to hear the crowd and Dustin Roberts and Don Beese and the guys from Imperial Holonet Radio, which I also listened to. So to quote Yoda, through the Force, things you will see other places. The same can be said for your podcast. That's nice.
That was a terrible impression.
What?
There was no Yoda in that? You couldn't even pull out the Yoda?
You know what? I won't even... That's one that I won't do. I won't,
listening
I won't
for
do,
two
There are two things I won't do, typically, in public. I won't do Yoda, and I won't do the Chewbacca growl.
Okay.
Or gurgle or whatever.
I can accept that.
And I do them miserably.
Thank you, Michael Scott.
Well, that's going to do it. Sorry the show went a little long this week. We had a lot to talk about.
And we still didn't cover everything.
I know. We'll still have probably more stuff coming from Celebration 4. Some great audio. I want to thank Jimmy Mack and his brother Billy Mack for helping us out. Make sure you check out the MegaCast, the MicroCast, the Celebration reports that dropped on the site over the last week and a half since we've been back. Amazing stuff that Jimmy's put together. Thank you, Jimmy.
you're really like, you're the big brother on this show. And we couldn't have survived Celebration 4 without you. You're truly the pro. And that's what we'll call you from now on.
He's inveritable.
He is. The inveritable pro.
The inveritable pro.
Lots of ways to contact us. You can give us a call at 330-8714-TFN. That's 330-8714-TFN. Or you can Skype us at username ForceCast.
You can send us an email the old-fashioned way at podcast@theforce.net. It's interesting that that is now the old-fashioned way.
Right.
But email podcast@theforce.net. Check out our forums at rebelscum.com. Make sure you're there this weekend so you can get in on the contest for the History Channel Legacy Revealed contest that we're going to be running. And also, if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, if you look it up, The Force Net, all one word, The Force Net, there's 45-plus videos of coverage and anything you can think of that we've got related to the ForceCast is on there. And we have to thank both Jay Shepard and Keith Shankland, who were just awesome video men the whole time.
They went crazy. Keith was unbelievable.
They went crazy and put up so much stuff for you guys to...
Keith is still posting stuff, so make sure you check it out again at YouTube, username TheForceNet. Also, don't forget, the Cafe Press Store is open. ForceCast merchandise for one and all.
I wear it all the time.
Yes.
I'm wearing my own shirt. It's ridiculous.
So thank you to everyone we ran into at Celebration 4. You made our weekend just something we'll never, ever forget. And as Pete said, don't forget the contest in the forums. We promised this weekend. Special thanks to Terry and the gang over at History Channel Electric Artists for those prizes. Again, that's the forums at rebelscum.com. Playing us out is young man that won the Star Wars Celebrity Contest, and rightly so, Jack Wilkinson, with his song about Anakin. Take it away, Jack. We'll see you next week for the ForceCast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
Such an angry young man, all power in his hand. You got to understand, it makes you care less. A boy of sun and sands wants to be a better man. He loves his mother and it makes him restless. Anakin, take my hand. I'll take you from this foreign land. Desert man, darker man, you're dying in the sand. Such a pretty young girl with her pretty brown curls. You killed that one too in the name of love. And now you're all alone on a road we never go. The dark side, the cruel place to be. Anakin, take my hand. I'll take you from this foreign land. Desert man, darker man, you're dying in the sand. And Annie, can you hear me? Or do I talk too loud? And Annie, can you feel me? Or are you just too proud?
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.